Blog Talk Radio.
You are the God Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. He picks one that is down, sets it to the world. That is the God of Jerusalem. That is God of Jerusalem. The only God of Jerusalem. The God of Jerusalem. The God of Jerusalem. The second year.
Thou fearest all the sun, thou fearest all the sun. Hallelujah, Jesus. Speak the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus is above all names. Bible says at the name of Jesus, every knee was bow and every tongue was confess that he is Lord to the glory of God, heaven above and earth beneath. Today we want to just give you a word. As you know, I'm coming back from a quadruple heart surgery. So I'm not pressing too much. I'm just doing what I believe the Lord wants and called me to do. And that is to put a word on international radio. Time set. We want to go here and talk about a church known as the Church of Laodicea. Laodicea. And the Lord told John to write this letter to the angel of the church in Laodicea. This is the message from the one who is the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of God's new creation. This word is coming directly from Jesus. I want you to understand this. Coming directly from Jesus to the servant of God, to the church of God. He says, I know all the things you do, that you are neither hot nor cold. I wish that you were one of the or the other. You see, God knows whether we are on board with his word or we are not on board. He knows if we have truly made a decision to serve him regardless of what comes down the pipe. He knows if we are only serving because we want to have Luca. We want to have the nicest car, the nicest home, the handsome husband, the beautiful wife. You understand what I'm saying. God knows exactly what our intentions are. So he speaks to John, and he said, but since you are like lukewarm water, neither hot or cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. I want you to know God is not his main intention. He wants to be able to impart all that he has prepared for you and I. God wants to fill us to overflowing. I was in the hospital having a quadruple surgery. My chest was cut open. Then I was having another surgery where they call carotid surgery where they cut open your neck. So I had two surgeries in one day. But I knew my Savior would not allow me to die on that table because I know that I have already given my heart to him, my soul, my mind, my body. And folk that see me in the hospital and when I leave the hospital can't believe that I'm recovering so fast. But that is the God that we serve. He says here, ooh, that he will spit you out of his mouth. You say, I am rich. I have everything I want. I don't need a thing. And you don't realize that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. See, you got some pastors that they think they got it going on. They think they have it going on. Everything is working for their good. That's what they think. They come together and they have these parties. They believe that God don't see anything that they're doing. They have orgies. They have all of this stuff going on. They don't think that God knows all, can see all and do all. Glory to God. So God has to let them know that because they're not a lukewarm or cold, he would spit them out. Some virgins said, I will spew you out of my mouth. Then they begin to testify that they were rich, that they had everything that they needed. In other words, they were saying, we don't even need God. You can go far and say that they were saying, we don't even need God. You watch some of these leaders, and you could tell from their actions that they're speaking that. They live in nice neighborhoods, gated communities. They drive the nicest cars. They can go to the best restaurants. Their bank accounts are overloaded. So they believe that they don't want God or need God. So they even speak it out of their mouths. And their actions tell you, you know, they are in with the LGBTQ and they operated on that realm of unholiness and believe that God doesn't see. Hallelujah. Now, here in the book of Revelation chapter 3, he's speaking to the church. He's speaking to the angel of the church, which is considered the leader, the pastor, the prophet, the apostle, the prophetess, the teacher, whoever is in charge he's speaking to. Because he has placed us in charge so that we can give charge to those under us. People, leaders must give instructions to the ones that they're leading. We find it so difficult because if we are leading folk, we don't want to tell them the truth. Because if we tell them the truth, sometimes the truth becomes offensive. hurt people. You know, and they said, well, I'm not coming back. Somebody kind of, oh, all right, I get it. Sometimes we say we are not coming back. I'm not going back to the church. I'm not going back to them. I'm not fellowshipping with them anymore because we don't want to be chastened. We don't want to be chastised. You understand? But the Bible says he chastened those that he loved. So if we are in a church, if we are in a body of believers, and the pastor, pastor, the bishop, whoever, is whoever in charge, if they really love us with the love of Christ, agape love, they're going to give us sound doctrine, sound corrections. We know that change people. And if they give us sound correction and we take it, we're going to change. See, I know the devil don't want me to come back on this line. He don't want me to come back on the church line. This is the same thing happened yesterday. I was laying down resting, waiting for the appropriate time to start the program. And as soon as I start the program, this crappy feeling started in my throat. Well, I know that this crappy feeling cannot compare to the surgery that I've been through. I know. So, devil, I can tell you, all the attacks that you're bringing, you might as well go on down the highway with it, because I'm going to continue to do what thus says the Lord. Here, glory to God, he said, I will spit you out. They begin to testify. He said, you say, I am rich and have everything I want. You don't need anything, and you don't realize that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Sometimes how we testify and we magnify the status that we are in. We hanging out with the big boys, the big girls. We feel like we got it together. And in reality, we are falling apart without God. He says, so I advise you to buy gold from me. Gold that has been purified by fire. Then you will be rich. Also, buy white garments from me so you will not be ashamed by your nakedness. And anoint your eyes so you will be able to see. I correct and discipline everyone I love. Hear what God says. We don't want any correction. He said, I correct and discipline everyone I love. So be diligent and turn from your indifferences. At the door and knock. If you have heard my voice, open the door and I will come in and will be. And I will share a meal together as friends. Those who are victorious will sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat with my Father on his throne. Anyone with ears to hear must listen to the Spirit and understand what he is saying to the churches. Powerful word. Many are hearing. Many are listening, but many are not hearing. We are in a serious season of spiritual and physical persecution. Let me say that again. We are living in a time of spiritual and physical persecution. There's a senator from Texas, or he was running for Senate. I don't know if he got it. No, he was running for president. And he was a senator, and he was running for president. And his main objective that he was running on is that if he became president, that he was going to remove 501c from the church. If the church did not allow LGBTQ1 to be part of the church. And if the church didn't exhibit the very essence of who this group of people are. You understand? So this is spiritual and physical persecution. And some people are so caught up with the 501c1 that they're not ready to truly live a spiritual life of Christ. They're not willing to give up all that they have, live and walk for Christ, even if it costs your life. Hallelujah. And we was in the hospital, and we were there since the 31st of December. We spent Old Year's Night and New Year's Day in the hospital while everybody was jamming and smoking and drinking, doing whatever they want. We were laying in the hospital. And before we had surgery, we prayed with the doctors and the nurses. The doctor said, well, you had to sign this release because my car, what do you call it? I can't pronounce that word. It's carotid artery was blocked up. Clean it out like you would clean out a fish belly. Carotid artery. And I said, well, I signed it. I said, but doctor, I'm not afraid to die. And I meant that. I said, because if I die, I'm going to be with my Lord Jesus, because my Bible told me. I said, I'm saved, I'm sanctified, I'm Holy Ghost filled, and I belong to Jesus. He said, okay. Just sign a piece of paper. Just sign a paper. So I signed the paper. And they went on and started doing surgery. I had two major surgeries in one day. One set of surgeons opened my neck and cleaned out the thing. As soon as they finished, I met a whole bunch of surgeons, as far as they told me, went on and opened my chest. A balloon under my chest that was working from the pulse of my leg, because they had to take out a vein from down my right leg to make the arteries from my heart. Hear my telling you? You would think it's a joke. You either going to believe or you don't believe. There's no time to play in the part. I'm not better than anybody. I just know that I love Jesus. I love what he's done for me and what he's doing for me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So the Bible says right here. Now let's go to chapter 4, because I just want to put some more. I got a lot of other scriptures. But let's go to chapter 4. And in chapter 4, John says, then as I looked, I saw a door standing open in heaven. And the same voice I heard before spoke to me like a trumpet blast. The voice said, come up here, and I will show you what must happen after this. In other words, the voice is telling John, come up closer. I want to show you what's going to happen in the future. You must see so you can tell the people. You're not just hearing what I'm saying to you today. What you're hearing what God has already said that we must tell the people. Most of us are telling the people, oh, you can have this, you can have that. You can claim it. You can claim it and you can have it. If you believe it, you shall receive it. We are telling the people all of this excuse me, order this prosperity message. Not the message that they need to hear, that they need to repent and they need to be transformed. We're not telling them that they need to walk out of darkness and walk into the light of God. The light of God is everywhere. But most people are walking into darkness because in darkness there's fornication. Hallelujah. There's adultery. There's stealing. There's lying. There's covetousness. Folk are cussing their parents, murdering their parents and their children in darkness. They don't want to hear this because the Bible said a sound doctrine makes sound people. They don't want to hear this. They want you to be in agreement with their lying flesh. He spoke to me so clear in the hospital. And I was telling the pastor, came and looked for me, that you have to stop. You are a pastor. You can preach well. You can sing and all this stuff and dance the Holy Ghost dance. I said, but God said it's much more than that. You can hoop, you can dance, you can sing, you can preach, but if you're not living holy, if you're not telling the people that they need to live holy, you're going to go to hell. You're going to be charged with their blood, with their soul. Hallelujah, because you're not telling them the truth. A half-truth is a lie. And you have to get ready and mean what you say, what you mean, and mean what you say. Either you're going to speak the truth or leave it alone. Go do what you want to do. Go live your life and die and go to hell. You got to make up in your mind. John says, and instantly, and I saw a throne in heaven and someone sitting on it. See, when you get connected to Jesus, you begin to see things. Oh, my God. I was in the hospital and began to see so much. And I was talking. They tell me I was talking as though I was talking to an audience. And everything, it was no give job. It was sound doctrine that was flowing out of me. The man says, I didn't know that you was a minister. I told him, yes, I am. And God was giving me stuff for the church. Not that I'm some supernatural person, but all of us have to come to a place. Those of you on this line and those of you listening in India, Africa, and China, and the Caribbean, and Canada, and the United States of America, over in Holland, Denmark, and Puerto Rico, and those that are listening down in Brazil. Hallelujah. Those that are listening in South Africa, and East Africa, and West Africa, and North Africa. I am telling you, you got to wake up. Wake up and come out of that shrine. Come out of that shrine, that satanic shrine, because all it's going to do is take your soul. Satan's going to come for your soul. Or when you think you got all your fancy cars and fancy castles, it's not going to save your life. You play with your money and you throw your money in the air like you all died in a bag of chips, but that's not going to save you. If you don't live holy for Christ Jesus, you're going to hell. Believe what I'm telling you. And when Satan comes to collect your soul, it's going to be too late. You're not going to have time to repent. It's going to be too late. That's why God told me this morning to tell you all, you have to wake up to the truth. Wake up to the truth. Don't let money and materialistic things take you to hell because they're not going to last. He said, what would it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what could you give in exchange for your soul? You got to make up in your mind. You got to wake up in your mind. When you sign that dotted line in blood and saying that you have turned your stuff over to Satan because you want the gift of prosperity, Satan says, okay, sign the blood, cut your finger, and put the blood there, sign in blood. He said, from today, everything that you need, you're going to have. And you start to prosper. Now you walk around with the gold chains and the diamond bracelets and diamond rings, and you look like you're making some. But you're not going anywhere. You're really not going anywhere. You look like you're moving better than everybody. You're not going anywhere. All you are doing is walking towards hell, closer and closer to that wide gate, because hell only got one gate. There's no exit. When you go in, there's no exit. Say, well, I'm going in this, don't come out next. There's no exit. All day is torment. John says, Oh, my God. The one sitting on the throne was as brilliant as gemstones, like jasper, like carnelians. And the glow of an emerald circled his throne like a rainbow. The 24 thrones surrounded him. And 24 elders sat on them. They were all clothed in white and had gold crowns on their heads. From the throne came flashes of lightning and the rumble of thunder. And in front of the throne were seven torches with burning flames. This is the sevenfold Spirit of God. I want you to let you know that the 24 elders were not just able to get and sat on those thrones without going through a whole lot of spiritual persecution. Physical and spiritual persecution. See, this is why a lot of us don't fit in. And don't want to fit in. You know why? Because we don't want to go through any spiritual and physical persecution. We don't want to be caused by other people and call us out of our name. If they say we are fine and we are great and all this stuff, oh, that's really good. That's good. But the moment they say something bad about us, we just can't take that. But if you go serve him, you're going to be called out of your name. There's no if or buts about it. You're going to be called out of your name. John continued to speak this sermon. He talks about, hallelujah. In front of the throne was a shiny sea of glass, sparkling like crystal in the center, and round the throne were four living beings or creatures, each covered with eyes front and back. The first of these living beings was like a lion. The second was like an ox. The third had a human face. And the fourth was like an eagle in flight. All of these represent the things that are here on earth. The human, the lion, the eagle, all represent the things that are on earth. You understand? In heaven, as it is on earth. He relaying this thing to us and the ox. Each of these living beings had six wings. And they were covered all over with eyes. Inside and out, day after day, and night after night, they kept on saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, the one who always was, who is, and who is to come. Now these creatures, see it for yourself. They have eyes all over, inside and out, which means they don't miss anything that moves. Anything that moves, they see and hear. But at the same time, they're giving honor and glory to the one who sits on the throne, to King Jesus. Sometimes we go all week and don't give him any glory at all. We wait for Sunday or Saturday to praise him. And if we get sick, we complain, why are we sick? The Bible says, whenever the living beings give glory and honor And thanks to the one sitting on the throne, the one who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down and worship the one sitting on the throne, the one who lives forever and ever, and they lay their crowns before the throne and say, "You are worthy, O Lord, O God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and they exist because you created what you please." Watch what the elders do. The creatures begin to worship. The creatures begin to worship King Jesus. And the elders took off their crowns. Because in worship, there's only one, in worship, there's only one deserved to have a crown on their head. Not the pastor, not the bishop. We all have rings of apostleship, of bishopship, a pastorship, a evangelistship, a teachers. We got a ring for all the fivefold ministry. And we push up because we want people to know that we have graduated from being a deacon or something. But what's important, who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords? People are not satisfied with the position that they're in. Can't give him the glory and honor that is due to his name. John saw all of this thing. It was placed before John for John to see it. Let's go to Revelation chapter 13. I'm just going to jump around this page for a little bit. And let's give you a little bit of something, and then we're going to go to here. And we see what we can do tomorrow if the Lord say the same. You know, because I'm trying not to push myself, because you know my chest is still healing. I still got a strip on my chest, and I still got strips on my neck. So we are on healing, but we're healing fast. We're healing fast because God is in control. Revelation chapter 13, hallelujah. I think I'm coming up the Living Bible. Revelation chapter 13. Here, coming out of this book, let me look in King James Version here too. Revelation chapter 13. You can't go wrong with this book. A lot of people don't touch it. But this book of Revelation, you cannot go wrong with it. If you spend time with it, you'll fall in love with it. I tell the truth. Because it will make you come to the place where you get to that place of obedience. Not fear. You'll get to a place of obedience where you trust God. That's what this book tells you. It makes you want to get your heart right with God. Revelation chapter 13. Let's start at verse 16. Hallelujah, Jesus. And he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bound, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead. And that no man may buy or sell, save he that hath the mark or the name of the beast on the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. You're going to see the man that is truly the Antichrist. It's going to, the letters of his name is going to spell out 666. Those of us that will take the time when this character arise, because he's already in the earth, and he's speaking too. And you begin to check his name out, you'll see who he is. Many going to be led astray by him, because he's going to be suave Oh, he's going to dress fine. He's going to dress fine, and people are going to follow him. They don't want to hear you with all that Jesus stuff. Let's go to Revelation chapter 11. I know that I've had my chance. I've done the stuff that I choose to do back then. I didn't know any better. But Christ had come into my heart, and he showed me great things. Even this last episode I had with this quadruple surgery. And he showed me. You know, but I got you. You know, you ever hear God say, I got you? Have you ever heard him say, I got you? Don't matter what it looked like. He said, I got you, son. I got you, daughter. I know it looks like the rope is going to break and you're going to fall all the way and bust your head right up. He said, no, I got you. Even if the rope breaks, I'm swift enough, fast enough to catch you before you hit the ground. God told me. I told him, don't worry. Don't worry. Listen to what he says in Revelation chapter 11, verse 3. He says, I will give power to my two witnesses. Hold on a minute. Somebody's out of store. My granddaughter's in the bathroom. 1 minute. Glory to God. Let me see who it is. Okay. So it's okay. Hey. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Bless the name of the Lord Jesus. Somebody down the street, bring some meal that went to the wrong address. We're not coming too long. Just going to give you a little bit more. But this is what God is saying to us, that we got to declare this word, and we can't compromise the word. It doesn't matter what happened to us, what we are facing. We still got to declare the word of God. Yes, we have to declare the word of God, which is true. We can't compromise it. Hallelujah. And I've been to death door. Believe what I'm telling you, but I've been to death door. Because I was in the hospital. And there was at least two people didn't make it off out of the operating table, but they didn't make it over the ICU. They didn't make it out. Understand? But I'm still here, and I was discharged and came home, and I'm able to go. This I can't drive for 6 feet, but I can drive if I want to drive right now, because everything in me is working fast, real fast. But I'm holding on. If I want to drive, I can drive right now. I can. If you can turn your neck to the right or left, everything's working fine. I can turn my neck to the left or the right. Nothing is hindering me. Because who's healing me? Not the surgeon. Jesus is. Jesus is. Listen to what he says. This is powerful word here that John penned down here. John, I know people said John went. John's body, physical body, did not go into heaven. And you hear many preachers say John went. John's physical body did not go into heaven. John was able to look into the heaven, in the heavenly spiritually. He was able to look into the spiritual realm and see the things that would happen in this future realm. God allowed him to see. So the Bible says, let's don't get carried away. The Bible says, Lord Jesus. Oh, where we are. Come on down here. He said, these two prophets, two olive trees, and the two lampstands, that stand before the Lord of all the earth. Hallelujah. Let's go back into verse 3. He says, I will give power to my two witnesses, and they will be clothed in burlap, and will prophesy during those 1,260 days, or 3.5 years. He says, these two prophets are the two olive trees and the two lampstands, and that stand before the Lord of all the earth. Some people say it's Moses and Elijah. Some people say it's Enoch and Elijah. But either way, God says that they're going to stand before the Lord. Hallelujah. If anyone tries to hear them, fire flashes from their mouth and consumes their enemies. This is how if anyone tries to harm them, fire flashes from their mouths and consume their enemies. This is how anyone who tries to harm them must die. They have power to shut the sky so that no rain would fall for long as they prophesied. They have the power to turn the rivers and oceans into blood and to strike the earth with every kind of plague as often as they wish. Now you think about this and you look at this. God has given some of his servants who truly believe some awesome power. Some people just want to get some money. Some people just want to live in a nice neighborhood. Want to wear some fine clothes. But God wants us to be able to demonstrate the power and the authority that he had for us from the beginning. He wants us to demonstrate the power that shows the world that we belong to him. Anybody can get money. Do you hear me? Anybody can get money. But anybody can't get the power of God. Because he's not going to give his power to everybody. You have to live right. You got to be right to exercise, to operate in that realm, in that realm of holiness, righteousness, and power. Hallelujah. He's not giving it to everybody. Because, you know, some people go act foolish with the power. You know that. You get some people a little car. A nice little car. A little sports car. That, you know, has some pep. A little six cylinder. Small body so it goes fast. And you just give him the keys. You say, I didn't know that he was going to act so foolish. And one day, a day and a half, they kill himself. He run off the road and hit a tree acting a fool. Because why? They had too much power. There was too much power for them to handle. And God ain't giving his power to everybody like that. Because some people don't know how to deal with it. They act foolish with the power. They act like it's their power. I mean, and then they don't give him any glory. They act like it's their power. Hallelujah. They can turn the rivers and the lakes into blood and strike the earth with every kind of plague as often as they wish. When they complete their testimony, the beast that comes up out of the bottomless pit will declare war against them, and he will conquer them and kill them. I want to let you know that even when you are working for the Lord, that you're still going to be attacked. You're still going to be attacked. Said some people, well, why is she working for the Lord? If he's working for the Lord, why he got to go through this? Why he's going through this? Maybe he did something wrong. No, it's in the Bible. You're going to face some stuff. These two are able to open the doors of heaven and cause it to rain as long as they want to. They're able to turn the rivers and lakes into blood as long as they want to. Fire will come out their mouth and even kill folk that come against them, long as they want to. But yes, till they're going to be attacked by the beast that come upon the earth. You gotta pay attention to this Bible. This Bible is powerful, man. This Bible is powerful. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's powerful. And if you study it, it will bless you. We're just going to a few more verses down here, and we're going to pray and close out, open the line or whatever. But he says here, listen. No, you know, I told the Lord I'm going to put a little bit here every day till my vocal cords get right. Because, see, I had that thing, you all know what I'm talking about, trachea or something. I had that thing down my throat, and I had to breathe through that. And then I had another one down, three down my nose, two small blue ones and a kind of clear crystal one down my nose. Because, you see, I had so much stuff going on in my stomach, they had to drain stuff off my stomach, you know. But we thank God. Now my stomach is back normal. We thank God, you know. They did all that they had to do. God was in charge. Listen. Glory to God. This is what God is saying to us today. Hallelujah. After, and their bodies were laid in the main street of Jerusalem, the city that is figuratively called Sodom and Egypt, the city where the Lord was crucified. And for 3.5 days, it's the same thing of 3.5 years, all people, tribes and languages and nations will stare at their bodies. No one will be allowed to bury them. All the people who belong to this world will gloat over them and give presents to each other to celebrate the death of the two prophets who had tormented them. You see that? People of God, just pay attention. Don't want you to declare the word of God. You see? The word of God now becomes a tormentor to them. They don't want to hear it. They want to fuss with you. They want to fight with you. That's why they're calling you names that are not in the book. They don't care for you. Because you're carrying a weapon that disturbed them. The word of God that's in your belly, it disturbed the enemy. You know, they laugh at you. They laugh with you and eat and drink with you. But the moment you call the name Jesus, the moment you say, I'm saved, sanctified, that Jesus is my Lord, I'm washing his blood, it changes the whole atmosphere. Do you ever notice that? Even in the church building, you got folk in there saying they're saved and sanctified. The moment you say that you're saved and sanctified, that you're washing the blood, the same people that claiming that they're Christian change up on you. Because you know why they change up with you? Because they're not saved and sanctified. They're not saved and sanctified. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Man, I was standing up, and I'm boasting now. I was standing up for the name of Jesus in the hospital. Standing up for it. Because I said, if I got to die, let me die declaring who he is. Let me die declaring. I can't carry none of this stuff with me when I leave here. Hallelujah. But I know when I stand for him, he's standing for me before the throne. And he's telling the Father, this is one of mine. Telling the Father, he don't always get it right, but he's one of mine. The people are going to gloat over you. Listen. But after three and a half days, God breathed life into them. And they stood up. Terror struck all who were staring at them. You know, you laying on the deathbed. And they're almost giving up on you. They say you're not going to make it. They're making plans to take you out on the ground. Your wife, your husband, your children I know shivering because they got the bad news from the doctors and the nurses. But we don't think he's going to make it over the night. We don't think she's going to make it over the weekend. But before the weekend get here, Dr. Jesus was already in the room and made some changes in the medication. He made some changes in the atmosphere. Do you hear me today? And all of a sudden, when they come and they look at you, their eyes are open wide. You have strength in your body. Life is shown in your eyes. There's no, you don't have that death look about you. The smell of death has left the room. Because why? Dr. Jesus showed up in the room. Listen to what he says. Hallelujah. The people mocked him and laughing, and they're having fun. But after 3.5 days, God breathed life into them, and they stood up, terror all who were staring at them. Then a loud voice from heaven called out to the two prophets, "Come up here! Come up here!" And they rose to heaven in a cloud as their enemies watch. Do you hear me? This is what God does. Powerful, awesome God. Hallelujah. At the same time, there was a terrible earthquake that destroyed a tenth of the city. 7,000 people died in that earthquake. And everyone else was terrified and gave glory to God of heaven. The second terror is past. But look, the third, thank you and praise you, O God, for this word. You allow us, O God, to come in today and to break bread. Father, we know that you know that we are not all up to par, but we are doing what you called us to do. The more we come in, the more we declare, the more, God, that we'll be able to do. We'll get stronger and stronger and stronger as you speak to us, as we listen, as we hear, as we receive from you, God. We will continue to get stronger because you are our God. You are our Savior. We are nothing without you. Father, we ask that you speak, that you touch the four corners of the earth, and God, that you release that which you said you will release. We are hungry, and we are thirsty, Jesus. You know how long we've been gone, but thank you, Father, that we are back. And we are back in the power and in the glory and mercy of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. We are asking you to continue to bless us with strength. Bless us with endurance, O God. We know, God, we are not asking for anything else. We ask that you continue to, as these arteries are mending and healing together, that you took out of my leg and put in my heart. Lord, there's no rejection because it belongs to me. You gave them to me. We ask, oh God, that you allow them to get stronger and stronger. Because as they get stronger, I am going to get stronger. And I'll be able to do even more as the kingdom is open to us, oh God. We ask you to bless us, oh God. Bless the four corners. There's somebody out there that don't know Jesus as the Lord and Savior. Take the opportunity to give your life to him. I'm not going to do too much. I'm just going to say a quick, sharp prayer. The Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe on him shall not perish but have everlasting life. The Bible says also says that all has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. The Bible says that wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 6:23. The Bible says that if you confess with your mouth, believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. The Bible says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And I also said that God sent out his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. John 3:17. John 3:19 says that this is the condemnation, that sin has come into the world, but men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. This is John 3:19. And the Bible says, Peter said, let every one of you repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And we know that there's no other name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved. The name is Jesus. So if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, get to know him so that when something, and even before something happens to your life, you can have this assurance, this blessed assurance in your heart that no matter what happens, you are on the right track. You're on the right side, and it doesn't matter. Because if something happens, you say, you know where I'm going. I know where I'm going. Hallelujah. You can tell yourself with boldness, I know where I'm going if something happens that I really didn't want to happen. You know, because things happen that we don't plan for to happen. People go to the grocery store and get shot. At the gas station, get shot, get stabbed, die. You know what I'm saying? People are walking through crowds and somebody come upon them and stab them. They don't even know the person, but it's initiation. So you don't know what's happened. But if something like that happened, God forbid, you can always say, well, if I die, I know where I'm going because I've given my life to Christ Jesus. I'm living for Christ. Hallelujah. So if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, take the time right now and ask him. So, Lord Jesus, I heard the word. I received the word. I believe the word. And I believe that you were crucified at Calvary, that you died there on that hill. You were buried in a borrowed tomb, and the Father God raised you up on the third day. I believe all this in my heart, Lord Jesus. But today, I'm asking you to forgive me as I repent of my sins. And there are many. There are too much for me to number. God, I ask you to forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness, oh God. Because the Bible says, if I confess my sins, that you are faithful and just to forgive me and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. So, Lord Jesus, I denounce Satan and all of his agents and this world system. And I come to you broken as I am, a sinner in need of a Savior. And I'm asking you to come into my heart. Set me free from sin and lead me on that path of righteousness. If you just said that prayer and you believe in your heart, you have just received the gift of salvation. That's how simple it is. And then you get a Bible, begin to study Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, so you get a better understanding as the Holy Spirit give you leadings and guidance as you study. He's a great teacher. And as he begins to teach you, you'll get a better understanding. But you have to spend time with him. It's just like when you were dating your first boyfriend or your girlfriend, you had to spend time because you wanted to get to know them. You want to get close to them. So it's the same way with the Holy Ghost, same way with Jesus. You have to spend time, quality time, intimate time, develop the relationship with him so that when he speaks, you can hear his voice and you will get to know his voice. Then I want you to call up a pastor, preacher, teacher, someone that know how to baptize and tell them, look, I got baptized in Jesus. I believe and in Jesus' name I receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior, but I need to be baptized in his name. Hallelujah. Because that's what the Bible says. You must be baptized in his name. Glory to God. But before you get baptized, invite your friends, your family, your co-workers, and even your enemies. Invite them. Glory to God. Because you want them to know that you know that you know that you know that Jesus is Lord. Glory to God. And once they come to this, you want witnesses. This is something. When I was going to the club, I had a lot of witnesses. They know that I was a night rider. They know, oh my God, they know that I was a night rider. They say, here, David Callan, he going down to the club. He going to the cabaret. I had the John Travolta tight shirt and a tight pants with a bell bottom. They knew I was ready for the club. And I had the shoes that had the lift on the bottom, you know. And I looked taller than I was. because I was fitting into the world system. So now you want us to know that you have given your life to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. One of them may get saved from when the pastor, the preacher, the teacher, whoever do the initial sermon of baptism. They may be invited to give their heart to Jesus. That's why you invite everybody. And then after you go down what we call the liquid grave, you've shown the world that you have already given your life to Christ. So now this is an open declaration that you have truly died to this world. You're going down there, then you're coming out of there alive to Christ Jesus. Find a church that's preaching and teaching the gospel and get yourself involved. Thank you all that listened and heard, and those that will receive the gift of salvation on a later day, may be baptized in whatever country, nation, or city that you're in, that you may be baptized in Jesus' name. The line is now open for anyone that want to add to the sermon.
God bless you, Apostle. I'm glad to hear your voice. I'm at my first dope, so I got to get ready to unload it. But, man, I love you, man. I thank God that God is working miracles in your life and allowing the anointing to still flow. And I just thank God for you. I enjoyed a little bit I heard when I came in. I came in kind of late because I was at the truck stop trying to get things together so I can get on to my first dope. But I love you being encouraged, and I pray that God continue to heal your body and do all he had to do in your life and continue to let favor run it in your life. God bless you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Be safe out there. Stay safe and allow God to watch over you while you're on the highway. Trust him in what you're doing. You know, don't depend on your earthly strength. Trust him in what you're doing. Understand? You got to trust him, because sometimes we get too pumped up and think, well, I can do this. I got the degree. I got the license. No, don't trust your license. Don't trust your degree. Don't trust your intellect. Trust God. Trust God. He can see further than you can see. Oh, I can see.
Yes, sir.
He can do more than I can do or you can do. Believe what I tell you. I was watching this black truck driver. You may know her. She's very fine. In the world, I would say she was fine. You know, I'm saying that, but that's not the way I was seeing her. I mean, she had all the curves that way you want them. And the way she was talking, she said, look, I ain't trying to get locked up inside here. I don't want me tightening. He said, see, the African-American girl can drive her truck. I said, I'm not trying to get locked. He said, I'm not trying to get locked. I want to be able to move out when I got to move out. Because you don't know what's up. He said, some of these people lock you up, and then when you go to get out, you will end up hitting their truck and cost you money and stuff. I said, well, he said, I'm going to allow God to lead me how to park his truck, where to park it, how to park it. I said, God, that's good.
Amen. Yes, sir.
You know, allow God to lead you and guide you, man, so you don't end up paying no money, you know. You get paid or something, but you don't end up paying no money, you know. Trust him, especially when you're out there on the big road, that you don't get no accident to hurt yourself or hurt anyone, and he bring you back home safe to your family every day, every night. In Jesus' name, the line is open.
Amen. God bless you. God bless you, Apostle, to give an honor to you.
God bless you.
Amen. And all the preachers that are on the line, Apostle Stewart and his wife, and all the men and women of God globally that's listening to this show today, and even those who don't have a throne title, we thank God for you having an ear to hear what the Lord is saying to the church, yet still in his call to sinners and the prodigal sons at this hour. And thank God for you. Amen. I told my son last night, I said, oh, I told him after the prayer line this morning, and I had to dot over here because we're supposed to be in noonday prayer, praying at before the rising of the sun, and then noonday, and then the going down of the sun today. And I told my son, I said, Apostle is on the line. He sent me a message last night and get it too late and saw where he had to have preached, and because he had the message tied, and it was a fresh date. So I said, I'm going to try to sneak on there, but we've been inspired here on consecration, my son and a few of us others, and we are praying three times a day, and some are praying more. They're going during midnight gatherings, too, without ceasing, because the world is just as you preach today out of your soul and the strength of God. And we know you're weak, so you were moving by the power of God. And we thank God that you're still moving by the power of God. I was blessed to hear that. And I'm just praying that the Lord continue to bless your press. And my son is on here. Your name is called out on our prayer line every morning before the surgery and after. All those who are known to us, amen, that yet earnestly contending for the faith and standing with God, amen, and truth, preaching the whole counsel of God. So your name is called out every morning in our 5 a.m. prayer ever since I've met you. And we've been praying and calling your name out on our list of pastors and all of those pastors under the sound of your voice connected by the way of technology that hears you and embrace your teaching every day. And I'm just so happy to hear you. And yes, you need to take care because I know you're moving under the power of God, but use great wisdom because you say your chest cavity has been cut over and that elasticity and the expansion in that chest, it will not be the same once cut and won't be able to spread as it used to. So it's will tightening and things will change, but the spirit in you, which is the true you, will know how to control the body to keep it alert and alive for the finishing of the works that you've been ordained to do. And so you be encouraged and know we're praying for you. And I, for the past 3 weeks, haven't worked in there almost a month. And just send them a cobble down there like, oh, hell. I said, okay, I'm getting ready for something greater, something bigger. Car broke down. We had an arctic blast to pass through Tennessee like I've never felt. I mean, bone chilling. Never felt and seen what I've seen on the wars everywhere, the wars in the firmaments, in the atmosphere, on earth, in the waters. I mean, everything is, I've never seen the seasons move across the planet all at one time. No boundaries, nothing at its season, but all at one time. And I know because it's the end. And I'm telling you, I'm marveling at the things that's coming to pass. And seeing all of these signs that the Lord is coming, and the political pulpits are ready to introduce the Antichrist. And if you people only understood and can read all the riddles, the numbers, and all the slang, the word slang and the stuff that's going on, and we are, it's at hand. It's close as our hand to our body. Of what's going on, and all these are backing out, and for the reasons, various reasons. And I tell you, this is soul-searching time where we've set aside to search our soul to make sure that we are without spot, wrinkle, or blemish, or any such thing that will offend, and that every transgression is blotted out. Amen. And that we are thoroughly purged from iniquity, anything twisted or distorted, or anything of genealogies, fables, men's doctrines, whatever it is that will hinder the work of God purposed in our life. We are making sure we are ever with clean. And even if the Lord says Zion had filthiness in her skirt, we are checking for filthiness in the skirts and find what does God mean in the location, whether it's of the flesh or something of the spirit. And I'm telling you, we see everything that's here. And what was is now, and the animal kingdom told us. So we're trying to make sure that we're pressing into that hundredfold, 100, trying to make 100, because we know 99 and a half ain't going to do. We got to go all the way. And people say, is there no way possible you could get there and stop sinning and doing this and that? Well, the word said, and he's not going to take anybody back with any little thing. And no little lizards, no little foxes, no moats, no beans, no transgressions, no trespasses, no unpaid vows. You know, whether violation of spiritual law, or laws of the altar, the pulpits, a general land law, like breaking the speed limit. People keep doing that, driving like fools, and don't know all this is accounted to in the category of spots, an obvious thing in the public's eye. And so you've stirred me today, and just been nothing but study, staying in this house, and just go out to feed the chickens and my shepherd, then back in and study, and I'll break away to watch a documentary or something. But I'm telling you, I'm so warning not to miss, whether it's a second Exodus, whatever they want to call it, or a rapture. I intend not to make it, not to be left behind, you know. And so thank you so much for the word of God, and know that we'll be praying for you. Amen. And everyone who've always been here with you, amen. God bless you. Keep me in prayer.
All right.
Amen. And I remember your last prophecy before you went into the hospital. You say you saw God blessing, and it was going to be a great, sweet surprise of someone coming into my life to ask my hand in marriage. And that's one of the desires of my heart. And I have somebody that's interested. But, you know, like people, they try to be controlled by people's opinion and all of that. And you know, read a man of God, and you don't know if God is speaking. You listen to old people. People just want you to themselves. And these are great hindrances of why people's ministries don't grow, when you let the numbers tell you what to do. Remember, keep praying for me, Apostle. I love you. Be encouraged. Have a good day.
Love you all, too. God bless you all. Pray God's strength upon you and God's supernatural favor. You know, patience overcome a whole lot. Just patience. Sometimes we think that we've been waiting long, but your long does not compare with God's time. You know, we have to be willing to connect with God's timing and see how God works out things for us.
Yeah.
You know, if I tell you the way that I felt, and I was going home to do a great deed for my sister. I was going to install a new central air conditioner in the house. And I sit upon the bed, and the night my family was sleeping, and I said, this pain has just squeezed my chest together. It wasn't like no elephant or donkey or horse sitting in my chest. My chest was like somebody had a vice grip, squeezed it together. I said, honey, I'm going to the hospital. Because Sunday morning I was ready to go to church. She said, no, I can't go to church. I got to go to the hospital. So I went to the hospital, and they told me, well, look, wait here, Mr. Calder. And I'm waiting around all for street. I don't feel no pain now. Devil is real smart. That devil old stupid, he real smart. I'm in the hospital. I can't feel no kind of pain. At the same time, I got four arteries on top of my heart. Like the top of the heart is completely blocked. It was just a little trickle of blood going through. And when the doctor gets a chance to look at me, he said, Mr. Calder, you can't travel to Barbados. You can't even travel to California. You can't go nowhere. He says, I'm going to transfer you to this next hospital that is the master hospital in Boston for any kind of heart surgery. They're the top of the line. And when I got there, there was other people waiting for heart surgery. But mine was so bad, I just stayed in the room for a little hour, and then they took me straight to the room.
Wow.
And I said, well, let me pray for everybody before I go under. Let me pray for all these doctors, because I got another doctor that's in the room.
Wow.
And after I prayed, they put me under. When I come out, this surgery was supposed to take almost a day, because it's there were two major surgeries that I had. You understand? A quadruple surgery, and then I had a surgery for the carotid artery next to my neck, the one that goes from my heart straight up to my brain, controls the eyesight, control the motions of the left side, speech, all that stuff. And doctor says you can lose your speech, you can lose your eyesight, you can become paralyzed on your left side. I said, but not so, because Jesus is in the room. You know, my surgeon's in the room. I said, I prayed, and I asked God to use your own hands and guide your hands, and they put me on it. It took only 6.5 hours.
Wow. That's real a long time.
I was sitting in ICU grew.
Oh. Wow.
And they discharged me a couple of days ago. A couple of days ago they discharged me. And the doctor says to me, he says, well, there's no point keep you here in this room. He said, because you are recovering faster than anybody we see.
Wow.
So I'm home.
Amazing.
Yep, God, the God we serve. The God we
yes,
serve.
Yes, yes. Hallelujah.
So let me pray and close up. Father, we just thank you. We just praise you. Lord, we just glorify you. Thank you for the prophetess. Thank you for the deacon. Lord, we thank you for the minister. We thank you for Apostle Stewart, who was here with us yesterday, and Pastor Joy Stewart. We pray, Father God, that you continue to, our God, lift us up and draw us closer to you as we lift up
yes.
your name and glorify you. Your name, God. We ask you to draw us closer, Lord. Lord, begin, continue to impart new wisdom, new revelation, O God. Deposit, O God, deposit, O God, into our hearts what no man can steal, O God. Father, we declare, O God, that in this world we will testify, we will glorify you, we will magnify your name, O God, as we go through each day, we will testify, O God. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God, the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit continue to rest
yes.
and abide upon us. And surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives as we dwell here in the house of the Lord forever and ever. God continue to bless us in the city, bless us in the field, bless us where we come and bless us where we go. Continue to make us the head and not the tail. Set us above and not beneath. Lord, make us the lenders and not the bars. And we are continue
yes,
to bless you. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you so much for coming on today. I want you to know that we appreciate you. We appreciate you all. In Jesus' name. God bless. Bye-bye.
God bless. Bye-bye.